see you. Bless now your word to our hearts. And Father, obviously, in the next 45 minutes or 50 minutes, there's no way that we can touch and address and meet the need and the situation of every heart here tonight. But you can. You, Lord, know exactly what we need. And so, Father, as we look to this part three of this topic about divorce, and as we've come now to this moment of being a Christian and surviving divorce, what does your Bible say? We don't care what Dr. Phil says. We don't care what Oprah says. We want to do and we want to obey what the Bible says because, Lord, you've made us. And, Lord, you invented marriage and you know and you've given and you have for us the very answer to life. It is your word, Father. And out of it springs forth the issues of life. So God, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church tonight. And we ask that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to our theme portion of Scripture, Colossians chapter 1. You probably have it memorized by now. Colossians 1, verses 9 to 14 in our series, the Life and Bible series, and being a Christian and surviving divorce. Being a Christian, and now we come to part 3 of what is entitled Surviving Divorce. It's a terrible thing to even talk about because divorce is not what God wants to see happen among His children. And yet divorce happens. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and understand, or with all spiritual understanding and wisdom, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption even through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. The only divorce that we should be talking about as Christians, quite frankly, is the divorce that should take place regarding our lives and our own agendas. There should be a great divorce regarding that. Unfortunately, the Bible speaks about divorce. The Pharisees of old spoke about divorce. Moses spoke about divorce. Jesus spoke about it. But the Bible's very clear about this thing called divorce. Noah Webster, by the way, in his 1828 Dictionary of the American Language, speaks about divorce as being a severing, of being a dissecting of two people that have been bonded together to take them apart. Divorce. Spiritually, it's a violent thing. Emotionally, it's a violent thing. It's a terrible thing. It causes great pain. It's an overt act that you and I need to employ in obedience to God if we are going to see our local culture. You and I have no control over the culture at large, but we do have control over the culture of our lives. And it's going to take an overt act of obedience, my friends. And listen, what I'm going to be saying is so foreign to the culture that you and I live in that it is not about us. It's not about our feelings. It's not about what we want if we're Christians. It's about what God wants and what God has declared to be right. And you say, well, Jack, where's the fun in all that? There may not be any fun in all that, but there may be joy in it. There may be a good life in it. There may be a meaningful life in it. And let me tell you something. There'll be a successful, wonderful home in it. Marriage is a sacrifice. Marriage is a ministry. And as I mentioned before, God did not invent marriage to make us happy. God invented marriage to make us holy. That's why Christ is a picture of the husband and the church is a picture of the bride of Christ in the Bible. But we need to obey Him as we approach now this third study regarding divorce. And tonight we're looking at the challenge of surviving divorce. By way of introduction, Jesus spoke in Matthew 7:20. He said, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And then in Luke 6:46, Jesus says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Strong words regarding our fellowship with Christ. And this evening, I'm just going to again act as though all of us in this room are Christians. I'm just going to make that assumption tonight. And I want to say this before we dive into this completely. This has been my personal observation. Maybe yours is different, church, but this has been my personal observation regarding 20 years of pastoring, 30 years of being married, and 33 years of being a Christian. I have never heard someone yet say, "I'm so glad that I got a divorce." I have never heard it. I've never yet heard it. I've never heard someone say, "I am so happy that my first marriage ended." I hear things like, "You know, looking back, maybe we should have made it work out." I've heard people say, "You know what? I had a very bad marriage and I moved on and now my marriage today is fine." I understand that, but I've never heard someone say, "I'm so glad I got a divorce." I want you to be thinking about that for a second. Why would that be true? Even if you have absolute biblical grounds and the divorce is granted and you move on with life and you have a great life now and you have a great wife or a great husband, or maybe you're single now and life is fine, but down deep inside there is that statement within you, and you can agree with what I said a moment ago, that you've never heard someone say, "I'm glad I got a divorce." The reason why, it's such a powerful spiritual issue, marriage is, and divorce is the dissolving, the destructing of it. I recently read what an abortion is to a child is what divorce is to a marriage. Why? Because marriage is a sacred, divine institution. It's a covenantal agreement between God, between a man and a woman regarding husband and wife. And history, 5,000 years of history, proves that God knows what he's talking about regarding marriage. Jesus said in Matthew 19:5, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then they are no longer two, but one. Therefore what God has joined together," listen, this is why marriage, when it's separated and divorce, hurts so bad. "What God has put together, let no man separate." Last time in our study together of being a Christian in the midst of a divorce, if you were heading toward a divorce, we looked at those five things, and I won't review them too much in detail, only to bring these things to your remembrance. Number one, if you are in the midst of or heading toward divorce, consider these five things. Number one, seek every biblical directive first before you do anything else. Just because you see the commercial on TV, $99 divorce, go to www.ruinyourlife.com. Don't do it. First, seek every biblical directive from the scriptures. If you don't know them, find them out. Number two, exhaust every opportunity to reconcile with your husband or your wife. We looked at the details of that, that the very ministry of a Christian by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation. You and I have the power, the divine power by the Holy Spirit to make up, to say, "I'm sorry," to say, "I forgive you," and to start again. Number three, we looked at, really what I stress is, the avoiding of the counsel of others. And I don't mean that there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. I know that that's true. But I'm talking about avoiding the counsel of others who would steer you in the wrong direction. A lot of people today will counsel people based upon their own personal previous experience. And they'll tell you what to do. Avoid counsel like that. It's dangerous. Number four, we looked at, never let emotions make your decisions. Emotions will always rob us and deceive us. And number five, last time, we looked at this. Find a Christian friend to intercede with you regarding the issues of divorce. So here we go tonight. This is it. Being a Christian and surviving divorce. What about life after a divorce? What do we do? Well, number one, mark it down. Healing. You will require time and effort for healing. Mark it down. Very important. Healing is something, and let's be honest, divorce leaves a gaping hole in the heart of those involved in a divorce. As Christians, if you come to that point where you have been divorced or you've gone through a divorce, what are you to do? Number one, understand that the healing process of God is very, very important, and it's going to take time and it's going to take effort. Effort, I mean this, by applying yourself to the Word of God. We'll hear more of this in a moment. Now remember, tonight I'm assuming you're all Christians. Christians eat the Bible. Christians consume Scripture. It is the very supernatural power of the Word of God that will heal our lives. And then it's going to take time. Because divorce leaves that gaping hole. Each person, in their own separate way, and let's think about this for a moment. Even in a non-Christian divorce, two people divorce, they separate, they go off in their separate lives, and that gaping hole still exists. Because if you're a Christian or not, divorce is the ripping apart of an institution that God has ordained. You don't have to be a Christian to recognize the power of marriage. That's why when it's ripped apart, even a non-believer suffers so much pain. Why? There's a great bonding that God supernaturally engineers regarding marriage. And each individual, each husband, and each wife of that marriage that is now dissolved will display their pain in various ways. Healing is a must. Human desire, listen to this. Human desire will always rival the will of God in our lives. You and I will battle human desire, whatever that desire might be. It might be maybe I need to move on with my life. I just got divorced and now I need to get moving. We'll talk more on that as well. No, stop. You need healing. You might be thinking, well, I can't live without somebody. So my husband left me and I need another man. Don't do that. You're setting yourself up for destruction. You need healing and you need God's healing in your life. It's vital before you move on with your life. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see, you and I need to be healed if we've gone through a divorce. Have you gone through a divorce? You need healing, and you need healing by God. And I want to give you this warning. It's very practical. It's not very politically correct to mention, but it's regarding being the victim. You must decide right now, Christian, if you're going to play the victim card or not regarding your divorce. Why is that important? Listen, hear me out. This is painful for some of you. If you feel a need to go about and attack your ex-wife or your ex-husband by tearing them down in the community of friends that you have, listen, you are not healed. That whole situation still controls your life. Christ hasn't been allowed to have control in your life. And by the way, you know that's true. If you have to keep doing that, well, you know what? She was this way and he was that way and she would always say this and he would always do the other thing. Listen, you need to get over the victim card and take that to Christ. You need to take that to Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Here, write this verse down. Don't forget it. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. It's an awesome verse. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. The word cast in the Greek means to heave it, to shovel it, to throw it. And by the way, the word means to keep throwing it. It's almost as though when we are challenged by things that we remember that verse, oh, 1 Peter 5:7, I need to cast this care upon the Lord. As soon as we let go of it and it hits his feet, we run over there and pick it up and start petting it and putting it in our pocket again. And you got to throw it back at the Lord because he wants those things that hurt you. It's vital. Some of the things regarding the victim card sound like this. She really hurt me. He was cheating on me. He never loved me. I never loved her. All of these things that go on. Listen, you need to stop that now. Christian, I'm speaking to the Christian. If you're a non-believer, you can do whatever you want to do. But the Christian needs to understand, I don't have to carry this any longer. And I'm not talking about the details of how the divorce came about. Could have been a horrible divorce. It could have been a scripturally justified divorce. It doesn't matter. The pain will be the same. Because what God has brought together, no man should separate. And the more a person repeats that mantra of, well, you know what, I was ripped off, I was hurt, I was abused, or whatever the situation might be, you know the need to repeat that about every 60 seconds to make yourself feel better means that you haven't been healed by the power of God. And let me tell you tonight, God wants to heal you. This is step one. I don't have step two. This is just step one. So mark it down. I just wrote myself this little note. Step one, get on with it. Get on with it. Get on with what? Get on with this. Take the pain to Jesus. And if you need to, go have a good cry at the foot of the cross. But take it to Jesus. Are you hurting tonight because of a divorce? Go to Jesus. Go get alone. Get to the foot of the cross. And cry out to Him if you want. And leave it with Him there. In Psalm 107 verse 20, what a great psalm this is. Psalm 107 verse 20 says that He, that is the Lord, sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Maybe your life is doing great, but emotionally, spiritually, you're drying up because of the pain of a divorce. You need healing, and only God can give you that healing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're hurting tonight, you will not find. I don't care if you wind up meeting the Pope tomorrow night. In His arms or some nun or whoever, some spiritual person, you're not going to find comfort in their arms. You won't be there. You can find the most spiritual person in the world. Oh, but he's so spiritual. Oh, she's so spiritual. And you're on the rebound of a divorce. Oh, I'm going to confide in them. Watch out. Are you a woman and you've suffered the pain of a divorce? Surround yourself with godly lady friends, Christian women who fear and love God. Very, very important. Guys, hey, if you're hurting, if you've suffered from a divorce, don't surround yourself with some woman who is going to counsel you on this. Get with godly men. This is vital. Number two, on being a Christian and surviving a divorce is focusing. Not only healing, you're going to require time and effort to heal, but focusing on this. You will need to redirect your attention after you've gone through a divorce. So what do you mean by that? A divorce is just don't happen. You don't wake up and there's a divorce. You have been either thinking, discerning, watching, feeling something for a long time that seemed a little off. And things began to escalate. Man, I tell you, I'll share this right now. Listen carefully for whatever it's worth. Too many times, a woman might come to me in the courtyard or something like that, and she'll say, I really need to talk to you. This is the situation. My husband, he's been working later and later hours. And then I've noticed, like in the last 3 weeks, there's been no sexual activity in our home. He doesn't desire me. And he's spending less and less time with the kids or less and less time at home. And I'm really concerned about him. And I say to her, and it's just, it doesn't matter who it is, it's just the same answer for me. You pull the string, and this is what I say. I want you to go home today. Yes, yes. I want you to go home today, and I want you to walk up to him, and I want you to ask her what her name is. Whose name? The woman your husband's having an affair with. Oh, no, he wouldn't do that. Do you understand how many times we hear this? Oh, he wouldn't do that. And then a month, 2 months, 3 months later, when she's got the nerve, she'll ask him, and he'll say, it's almost 99%. He'll say, who told you? Divorces just don't happen. And when that feeling begins to creep in your life that something could be wrong, you begin to focus on the reality that this marriage could be over. And you're messed up. And you should be messed up. It's a horrible thing. It shouldn't be happening. I told you before, Billy Graham said that when two Christians who are married get a divorce, then the unbelievers who are watching those people seem to have justification for never coming to Christ. Think about that. If two Christians who look to God, who are born again, can't keep their marriage together, something's very wrong. Why should the world believe in Christ when that very sacred institution with two of his own kids doesn't work? Be careful, because you can begin to focus on all that stuff that went bad and was going bad and did and finally end bad, that now that you are on the other side of a divorce, you can be swallowed up with bitterness, and you need to redirect your attention. Be very careful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, the Bible says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of others." It is, and he says, listen to this, verse 18. "If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay.'" In our pain and in our anger, we can be focusing on the wrong thing and want to embark upon discipline and somehow bringing that person down that hurt you so badly. And God says, listen, I'll take care of you and I'll take care of them. Watch out. Redirect and focusing is vitally important on your life now that you've been abandoned by divorce. Okay. I don't know how to say this, so I'm just going to say it the way I think it's got to come out. Ladies, I'm just talking to you tonight for a second. Ladies, listen. Did your husband leave you for someone else? Did your husband abandon you? Did he divorce you? Did he leave you? And you have kids? Do you have kids in your factor? Do you have kids in your situation? And he left you? Maybe he didn't want to be married to a Christian anymore, or maybe this, maybe that, but he's gone. What do you do now? You've got little ones. He's gone. Well, listen, some of you may have a hard time with this counsel, but here it comes. If he abandoned you and you've got kids, there is no contradiction with letting the Lord deal with the revenge. That's God's business. You understand that? You let God deal with him. But you've got to raise now little ones. And what you need to do is become the mama bear in that home. If you've been abandoned by a man and you are now on that other end of divorce, you need to be the mama bear and protect your children against this crazy bear, this man that's gone off the deep end. Because far too many times we see a man who abandons the home, he winds up having second thoughts or selfish thoughts, some other kind of thoughts 6 months later, comes back into the home in some way, shape, or form. Maybe it's just visiting or whatever he does, and winds up turning the kids against the mother, and she winds up having nothing anymore. It's evil. It's just evil upon evil. You say, well, Pastor Jack, what do you mean by being the mama bear? Have you ever seen a mama bear take care of cubs when the big, dumb, grizzly bear dad comes in the area? Did you know that bears, I think they're called boars, aren't they, the male? I think it's called a boar. The male will actually kill his own babies, his own young. He's rogue, by the way. They go rogue, they go do their thing. And the mother, supposed to be the most fierce fight on American natural soil, is a grizzly bear mom taking on the grizzly bear dad. She takes him apart. And I'm saying to you, ladies, if your husband has abandoned you, cut him no slack. And I believe it's biblical. That guy wants to come and mess with the kids? Uh-uh. He wants to rob you so that he doesn't pay any money for those kids to be growing up? Uh-uh. Hey, buddy, you wanted to play? Now you pay. If he says, we need to get an attorney, we're going to, this divorce, this and that, or many times they'll say, we don't need an attorney, honey, I'll take care of it. Oh, really? You weren't able to take care of this marriage, but now you're going to take care of the attorney? No way. I'm going to go get Johnny Cochran or whoever's out there, you know. You can do that to defend your home and not violate revenge. There's a big difference. If you've got children in that issue, in that marriage, you better defend those little ones. This church and other churches are inundated because bum husbands have run out on their families and then they ditch on their alimony. And where do the kids and mom go? They got to come to the church. Well, thank God Barack Obama's in office, because now they can go to him and get all their care and all their need. But they used to come to the church. It's amazing. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, if anyone does not provide for his own, he's, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. By the way, if you're sitting here tonight and you owe alimony to your family, don't let me hear about it. I'll turn you in. I'll call the cops. It's illegal. It's illegal. And you have very, very strange views of being a man, in my opinion. Focusing on what's doing or what is going right and what should be right in the family is all important. Defending the family. Also honoring God. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord. Listen to this. There's three things that the Lord gives in Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's a great way of saying pray. Here's number two. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh, strength to your bones. Number three. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns, listen, have you been abandoned? Grab this verse. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That is God's responsibility to your life. If you've been abandoned, if you find yourself abandoned tonight, you seek God, you trust in Him, you fear the Lord, and you honor Him, and watch God take care of the rest. We also need to be focusing on what's righteous and what's just. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord, and that's the key, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. What an awesome promise of God. What would be the reason? So listen, this is where you find yourself tonight. You're divorced. And you're redirecting your attention. No longer am I grinding my teeth in hatred or anger or pain against this woman or against this man. You've given that to the Lord. Here's a question that comes up always about, well, I think I need to get married. Remarried. Married again. Why? Listen, I'm not saying no and I'm not saying yes. I'm just saying why. Why? Listen. What would be the reason? I'm not being mean to you. I'm just sounding mean right now. I'm not being mean. What would be the reason for you to get married again? I wrote three things down. It's the only thing I could think of. Actually, not really. There's a fourth one, but I didn't want to put it on paper. Because the notes are uploaded and people can read them. So number one was fear of being alone. That's a big one, don't you think? Are you guys here tonight? That's a big one, Pastor Jack. The fear of being alone. Okay. I think that's a legitimate one, but I'm a guy and I wrote it, so maybe it's not legitimate after all. I don't know. Being alone. Number two, the fear of missing out on life. That you're just going to feel like you're going to be living half a life. It's possible. Three, the fear of not being taken care of. Now, you may be some big burly man in here tonight. I got news for you. You think, oh, I don't need anybody in my life. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But what are the reasons? Maybe you have your own reasons of why you should get married again. I'm not saying yes. I'm not saying no. But what does the Bible say about your particular situation? Now, granted, remember, we have a short period of time to answer just a few questions tonight. But I want to put this out before you, and you're going to say, man, that just sounds so cliché. That sounds just so Christianese to say. But I want you to know I believe this. Everything that I think I could fill in about the fear or the need or the want of why I should get married again, I believe that everything that I'm looking for will be satisfied in an active, dynamic, spirit-filled Christian life. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about any loneliness would be evaporated if I'm following God with all my heart. Now listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Well, what about feeling like you're living half a life? I wouldn't have that feeling if I'm living a radical, and I like to say a radicalized Christian life for God. I wouldn't be feeling like I'm living half a life. Well, what about personal needs? God can take care of my personal needs. I mean, why don't I just say it? If you're a guy, predominantly, because I can only speak from a guy. What about sex? What am I going to do? God can take care of that. Lord, you know me. I'm going to freak out. Help me. What do you think God will do? Nope, not going to help you. He will help you. I believe that everything that a marriage that's gone bad, I think leaves me now void in that area, God feels that need. I believe it. Lisa and I, not too often, but I guess it comes up maybe once or twice a year, we will say things like this to each other. You know, if I die or if you die, what do you think? And we all have our things, and it changes with our ages. You know, it changes with age and time. But she'll say things like, well, I don't think I could ever, just the thought of dating somebody again and marrying somebody again and going through that again, I don't want to do that. And she said, well, Jack, what about you? And what if I died? What would you do? And I said, well, I've told you for the last 30 years, if you died, I'm moving to Hawaii. I'm going to sleep on the beach and hand out tracts. Aloha. But you think about these things. Just know this. If you find yourself tonight in that place of, oh my gosh, I'm half a human. My husband left me and now it's been 3 years and am I marked? Do I have a scarlet letter on my forehead? No. Your emotions may tell you that. Understand this. Everything that you need, God will provide. We've just not learned how to pursue Him as we ought to go after Him, like the Song of Solomon speaks about. It's amazing. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That should be the pursuit of every believer. Point number three tonight is this, being a Christian and surviving divorce. Number three, strengthening. You will want to strengthen your life if you've gone through a divorce. A divorced Christian, listen carefully, must fight harder against temptation as well as resist compromise in situations. A divorced Christian must fight harder against temptation, against compromise. What you want to be careful is that you don't, if you have been offended or if you find yourself now in a divorce, you're hurt, you're angry, you have all these emotions going, you never want to jump from the fire into the frying pan by making some decision in weakness. You need to strengthen yourself in the Lord. King David did that. He was excellent about that. That he took the time to strengthen himself in the Lord. David was an amazing example, even though he's an Old Testament believer, you read the book of Psalms and you read about his life throughout Scripture, and you have amazing respect for David's New Testament relationship with God. It's amazing. David would get depressed. You could almost see him look down inside of his robe. He says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Why are you so depressed? That's what the believer needs to be like. What's wrong with me? I'm sensing depression. I feel like my life's coming apart. I'm so weak. Talk to God. Go to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Those who were married before struggle with that temptation because they know what it's like. The comfort and the safety and the security of having a husband or a wife with them all those years. And now they're gone. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin, listen to this, every sin that a man does is outside of the body. Listen, if you rob a bank, you're robbing a bank. It's a sin, but it's outside of your body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who's in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Run from sexual temptation. Strengthen your life. How, Pastor Jack? Do the Joseph thing. Remember when Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph? She grabbed him. And by the way, every day she would come to him and say, and it said that she'd cast longing eyes at Joseph. Okay, knowing Satan a little bit like I do, you think she was really good looking or ugly? You don't know the answer? She was good looking. We already know what Joseph looked like. The Bible says he was extremely handsome, super well built, and in Egypt, this Hebrew man who probably had incredible highlights in his sort of dark hair, because that's how they do. And he would have had blue or green eyes with olive skin. He's a Hebrew. And he's walking around and she's going, who is that? Well, he works for your husband. He's your husband's right-hand man. And so when Potiphar's away, Potiphar's wife comes and she's casting longing eyes at him. Joseph. And what's going on? All this stuff. He's getting bombarded by this woman. And listen, most men today would say, gosh, you know what? I tried to fight this off and Satan just overpowered me. Joseph knew his God was real. Joseph knew his God was there. And Joseph did not want to sin against his God. And Joseph ran. And you go, yeah, but read the fine print, Pastor Jack. He got in big trouble. He wound up getting caught and being thrown in prison, being falsely accused. Can you imagine what kind of trouble he would have gotten into if he wouldn't have run? Your strength needs to be anchored in a deep, committed, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Husband, wife, ex-husband, ex-wife, focus on Christ. Should you get married or not, remarried? Listen, we can talk about that some other time, or maybe if we have time in the close of this, but that should not be your pursuit. Drawing close to Christ should be your pursuit. Strengthen, making sure that whatever went on in your life never happens again. By the way, the statistics are overwhelming. That once a divorce happens, the probability of a second divorce is greatly elevated. In 2 Timothy 2:15, this is what I believe every person tonight who's here regarding this topic tonight. If you are post-divorce Christian, you should make 2 Timothy 2:15 an aspect of your life. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. Or a workwoman, how about that? That need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Draw close to God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Make every effort, Christian, to build yourself up, your lifestyle. When I say lifestyle, that is ethos in Greek, how you live your life. I'm not talking about if you have rings or a ski boat lifestyle. That's ridiculous. I'm talking about how you live your life. In Jude, verse 20 and 21, it says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Keep yourself in the love of God. Point number four is this. Determining... this, that you will make different choices from now on. Does the Lord even want you to marry again? Is a question often stated. Look at this slide right here. According to a recent survey, couples were asked, their number one reason for divorce listed are the top 10 answers. And this survey was done by one of those very well-known marriage encounter seminar thingies, whatever it's called. Number one, cheating and infidelity. Number two, poor communication. Three, physical, psychological, or emotional abuse. Four, money. Five, sexual incompatibility. Six, boredom. Seven, religious beliefs and differences. I'm surprised that's on there, but that's biblical that it's there, isn't it? Think about that. Doesn't the Bible say we should not be unequally yoked? Why? God knows. Causes splits in the life, in the home. Child rearing. I assume that they disagree on how to raise a child. Number nine, addiction. Number 10, change in priorities. These are the top 10 reasons why people get divorced. Interesting. Well, mark this down. I'll give you a string of verses here. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. Okay. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to marry to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. See, what does that mean? Are you a Christian wife? And for that matter, it's also true about the husband. If your spouse dies, You're free to marry again, but only a believer, it says. Only a believer. You say, well, what's with that? I'll read it. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:10. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but if she departs, or if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Meaning verses 10 through 11 apply to the male and the female. There's not some rule for the man and not for the woman. It's equal, even. What's very interesting about this is that if the woman wishes to depart or the unbelieving husband wishes to depart, that person's free. Goes either way. Very important to understand that. Again, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked. That is a believer and a non-believer. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord or agreement has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. This is so wise. It's so powerful. Are you unhappy in your marriage? People will say that. I want you to think about that for a moment. Are you separated from your husband or wife right now? Are you going through a divorce right now? I want you to be determining now, my friend, to make wise decisions. Are you unhappy? Are you separated? Are you divorced? Why do I ask you that question? Because listen, you're a Christian now. You belong to the living God. You are to be yoked, that is, remarried, if God would have you to be remarried, to a believer and a believer only. Well, Pastor, I'm dating this guy. He's a total Satanist, but I think I'll convert him and it's going to be great. Listen, if you're going through a divorce or if you're separated, are you not still married, by the way? Are you going through a divorce? Are you married? Yeah, you're married. If you're going through a divorce, you're still married. Are you separated? Are you unhappy? You're still married. So when you go to work, keep your wedding ring on. You're married. Stop going to the singles bar with your friends. You're married. And a Christian shouldn't be there anyway. Listen. You may be hurting. You may be upset. You may be angry. Don't adopt the ways of the world. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And you need to be careful about this. Yeah, well, you know what? I take my ring off sometimes because, you know, what are you doing? Be careful. Well, how do I find a man? How do I find a woman? Chase Jesus. And as you're chasing Jesus, you'll bump into him or you'll bump into her. How do you do that? Because he'll be chasing Jesus too. Or she'll be chasing Jesus too. And when you guys are independently chasing Jesus and you wind up going along and you wind up looking over and she's there. Hey, what's your name? Susie. What's your name? Bob. Cool. And she's still there. That's a good thing. Chase Jesus, bump into him or her. And then, you know what? Then you can start saying, hey, Lord, is this somebody? But listen, you know, I'll go on the fishing boats with the church out in the ocean. I go because it's fun to watch you guys. I don't like to do it. Here's the reason. I like to fish, but not in the ocean. You want to know why? I want to know what I'm going to be pulling up. It freaks me out to do what you guys do. Hey, man, let's go fishing off the boat over here in Newport. And you, what do you got? I don't know. And you pull it up, and it's like, what is that thing? When you fish in the ocean, you don't know what you're going to get. Listen, there's people like that. What are you doing? Oh, man, I'm lonely. I'm going to go out. And what are you doing? Oh, we were just going to go to this dance place, and then we're going to go to this club over here. Are you crazy? You're fishing in the ocean, man. You're going to wind up snagging something. You're going to wind up hooking something. You go, what is this? What do you expect? You went fishing in the ocean. And look at the bait you were using anyway. I mean, my goodness. Listen, my dad taught us how to fly fish. You ever fly fish? You know exactly what you're going to get. And it's pretty classy, too. You're going to catch what you're fishing for. And you're going to catch what you're fishing for by what you use. Be careful. That's a whole nother study for a whole nother time. Determine now to make the right decisions. Let the Word of God be your instrument by which you decide. Don't let pressure and listen. Don't panic. Well, I've been waiting 3 years. I've been waiting 10 years for Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright to come along. Wait on God. Man, you'll go right from one disaster to the other one because you didn't wait on God. His timing's perfect. He loves you. You're not going to blow it. Stay close to Him. Well, what if I miss the guy? Let God find him for you. Number five, this is the last point. Being a Christian and surviving divorce is this. Being. You will live a more dedicated life to God. Being a Christian and surviving divorce, you're smarter now, aren't you? It cost you a lot. It hurt. But you have a more dedicated life to God now. And if that's who you are tonight, I want you to respect who you are in Christ and live a dedicated life to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, the word is to urge, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the good and acceptable, perfect will of God is. In Ephesians 5:17, we looked at it earlier tonight. See then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk in uprightness before God and man. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God. Listen to this. Your sanctification. That means you are different than those in the world. You're Christians. You're different. That you should abstain from sexual immorality. That is, marriage is the place for sexual activity. You're not married and you're having sex. The Bible calls that fornication and or adultery. Collectively, it is sexual immorality. You're sinning against your own soul. The Bible says if you persist in that lifestyle, it says that no one practicing sexual immorality will enter the kingdom of God. Why? It is a spiritual sin. Do you understand that? Your media, your world has billed it as some sort of a thing that just everybody does. It's just what you're supposed to do. They mock and make fun of virgins. In fact, if they find a virgin, they'll make sure that that guy or that girl is not a virgin any longer. You want to know why it's so important to the world? I'm telling you right now, it's a spiritual issue. The Bible says if a man who has the Holy Spirit in him joins himself with another woman outside of marriage, he's joining Christ to a harlot. Well, what does it say that? Because it's spiritual. And when two people who are married come together physical, in a physical sense, it's awesome. It's encouraging. It's strengthening. It bonds the marriage even more together. Don't raise your hand in here tonight. But if you're married tonight here, husband, wife, I think that when you have sex, you should be able to pray after you have sex. Are you kidding me? What is that? What? That's weird. Why? God was there the whole time. He is there. He made it. You're married. The book of Hebrews says the marital bed's undefiled. Undefiled. Go in there, shut the door, jump up and down on the bed. You know, it's undefiled. Come together as a husband and wife, and then praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for this marriage. Thank you for him. Thank you for her. Think about it. I can't believe you're saying that. He invented it. But if it's abused, it becomes a curse. And Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the gathering together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much so as we see the day approaching. What does that mean? These are crazy days, my friend. The world's coming apart. Marriage is under attack. I don't need to tell this church that. Well, what should we do? Pastor Jack, I went through a divorce. What should I do? You know what? You dive headfirst into church, into spiritual stuff, into ministries. You absolutely get yourself inundated with doing things for God, serving the Lord, blessing His people. And listen, even if you haven't gone through a divorce, you need to be doing that right now because the days are evil. And we need to be not stop. We need to be coming to church more often than stopping and doing our own thing. This is a dangerous time. People are getting tired of driving 2 miles to church. I think I'll stay home today. What's the matter? I just can't make it to the car. You guys, this is serious stuff, and it's spiritual in nature. I don't feel like continuing any longer. That's dangerous. It's happening everywhere. I don't know. You know, I don't want to read my Bible today. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Last final verse. Here we go. It's a big one, but it's the last one. Isaiah 54:3. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. Listen, this is for someone in here tonight. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. The Lord is saying to all of us, I want to heal your life. I've got a plan for your life. Now, tonight, in this brief period of time, as we end this, we can only cover certain things. The very specific details of, is my marriage according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 7? Is it biblical? Is this situation I'm in? Can I remarry again or should I not? Does the Bible command me to stay unmarried? Those things you read carefully, quietly, as your homework. Read them tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7. The specific things, come in for counseling. Contact pastors here at the church. Dive into your Bible. Just know this, God hates divorce. I highly recommend the situation that you're in right now. If it is before divorce has taken place, make it work. Get help. Don't give up. If you are now divorced, you either find out if you think that you have to be married and you should be married. You talk to God about that. And then number two, find out if it's biblical if you should be remarried, because some cases forbid it. Number three, ask God, Lord, do you want me to be single and serve you? You need to ask Him these questions. Far too many people seek their identity in their spouse rather than in their God. And that is a dangerous situation. Know who you are in Christ, and everything else God will take care of. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight, Lord, over this sanctuary, your people, and we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you know the very situations. And Lord, I think also of young people that are here tonight. They're not yet married, and they're listening to this, and I have no doubt that they're thinking, well, we won't have these problems. And I pray that they don't. They don't have to have these problems. As long as they keep you in their sights. Father, we pray that the young generation would begin to see marriages working. And that they would say, I want to be married. I want that in my life. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that those that are hurting right now, you would minister to them. divinely, supernaturally. There may be some of you that are here tonight and you're hurting, and no human can meet your need. I want you to hear that. No human can counsel you enough right now. For some of you tonight, maybe it's just one of you, one person tonight, you need to get away with God. You need to just get alone with Him and let Him speak to you. Everywhere you go, you just keep coming empty-handed. And you're not getting the answer, and you're not getting the encouragement that you were searching for. And frankly, God has been doing that. He's been frustrating you so that you'll get alone with Him. Seek Him. And then tonight, there may be those that are here and you are divorced and some of these things have pierced your heart. I want you to, my friend, I want you to get alone with your God. You open up your Bible, you talk to your Lord Jesus, and you decide today who and what you're going to follow. Your agendas, my friend, need to fail. Your plan needs to evaporate. If you name the name of Christ today, you need to follow Him and obey Him. Because you know what? He loves you more than you love you. He wants what's best for you more than you want. Trust Him. Father, we give You these things and we pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, let's stand together right now. And if as we...